Blog Talk Radio.
Mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you to another exciting segment of the Crossroad Broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I would like to take the opportunity to introduce to you some of our lead counselors that is on this broadcast, on Crossroad Broadcast. They are as following. They are Dr. June Normia, Dr. Gloria Castor, and, of course, myself. And we want you to take this opportunity to call a neighbor, call a friend, to let them know that the Crossroad Broadcast is on the air. We want you to know on this day and every Monday, you can expect to have a conversation, to call in here at the radio station and to listen or to call to ask questions about what our broadcast is about or something that you would like to know. Today we're going to be speaking on our topic today is violence and abuse. And there is so much of violence and so much abuse all around us. And I'm quite sure that you know somebody that have been treated, mistreated, some people that may be going through violence and abuse. So you have an opportunity to help them today. You have the opportunity to call them to let them know that the Crossroad Broadcast is on the air. The Crossroad Broadcast consists of professional Christian counselors who specialize in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse and neglect, and so many other things that the Crossroad Broadcast we talk about that you certainly will be interested in. So stand by as we get ready to go into prayer, and then the next voice that you will hear will be that of Dr. June Normia. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. God, we just thank you, God, for this day. But truly, this is the day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and to be glad in it. Father, we are reaching out, God, to all segments of our country, and we ask thee today that those that you have allowed to tune in and those that are going to be tuning in to this broadcast, God, give them relief, give them revelation, give them wisdom, give them understanding, educate them, God, empower them to let them and strengthen them, Father, to let them know that violence is not the answer and abuse is not the answer, but God, you are the answer. So, Lord, we just thank you, Father, as our speaker come to us today at speaking to you, to the people about violence and abuse. And, Father, we just give you praise and glory for all that you have done and all, God, you're going to do according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Give honor to God for allowing me to come before you today. I give him all the honor and glory, and I thank you, Radio Land, for taking the time out to listen to what we have to say today. My topic is violence and abuse, and today and next week I'm going to inform you with some vital information concerning violence and abuse pertaining to awareness, recognizing it, and what to do when you or someone else is involved in it. And we're going to be talking about the Bible and abuse, the cause of abuse, the effects of abuse, and preventing abuse. But today we're going to focus on the Bible and abuse and the cause of abuse. And the definition of violence is defined as physical force exerted for the purpose of violating, damaging, or abusing. And abuse is defined as to use wrongly or improperly, to hurt or injure by maltreatment, to assail with contentious, coarse, or insulting words. Everybody has been affected by some type of violence and abuse. There's no category of the human race is exempt for being ever in contact with violence and abuse. It occurs even from the carrying of pregnancy to the development of infancy, even to the elderly. So that covers everybody. Everybody has some time or another will be involved or have some kind of contact with abuse. And I'm going to tell you a story. There's a true story that happened in 1985. There was a 9-year-old third grader who recorded a song that suddenly became a hit record. The name of the song is called Dear Mr. Jesus, and it's a song by Sharon Brass. This song, it was derived, it came about by the viewpoint of a child who was reacting to a news report about child abuse. The words of this song begins with, Dear Mr. Jesus, I just had to write to you. Something really scared me when I saw it on the news. A story about a little girl beaten black and blue, and the song concluded with the words, Dear Mr. Jesus, please tell me what to do, and please don't tell my daddy, but my mommy hits me too. And all over the country, radio stations received requests to play that song. And that song was derived, like I said before, of a child who was looking at television of a clip that talked about children being abused. And the radio station was getting at least about 300 calls a day from callers who wanted even just to share their own experience about abuse. And with Sharon Brass, that's the one that sing the song, a little 9-year-old person, it was flooded with all kind of requests for personal interviews and appearances just because that song. Her parents, she had Christian family, Christian parents, who humbly said, even all the interviews, the only thing they concluded about all the interviews, what they said was all of that came from God. Her parents couldn't have had a better word, couldn't have had a better way to conclude all the interviews by using the name of God. And since we know that there's nothing new under the sun, everything that's happening now has always happened. And so what we're going to do now, we're just going to go and see what the Bible has to say about violence and abuse. And we know that much of the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, it deals with violence, accounts of biblical history. It always talks about they had military battles and blood of the matrix, people who died for their life and put their life on the line. Their life was taken. It's all kind of episodes, all kind of things that happen in history of the Bible talks about that. But we know that violence, it also came as a result of wars that God had sanctioned. That means God, he approved of that in order to punish the wicked and to administer justice. But we know that God is just and God is faithful, and he is a righteous God. And we know that God is a God of love, but we know that God don't make any mistakes. So it was appointed for the consequence for what took place in people's lives, even in the Bible, because I know people might be questioning and saying, is God's good? Why did he allow that to happen? But all things work together for them who love God and are called according to his purpose. And even in the book of Proverbs, the Bible, they talks about the rod of correction. And it emphasized and do a lot of emphasis on the intent of to cause foolishness to be driven out of a child. Because I know a lot of times people may call discipline a child in a form of as being abusive. But the Bible talks about disciplined children. And even in the book of Proverbs, it talks about sparing the rod and spoil the child. That means spanking a child or punishing a child to the intent to cause them to be able to cause them to avoid from having a self-destructive life. It leads them the way that God would have them to live, and it cause promote peace and a good relationship in the family. There's nowhere that God has condoned and God has given permission for a person, a child, or any person just to kill and steal and to destroy, and that is okay. But even like in the New Testament, it's talking about on behavior, like even a nonviolent behavior. Jesus condemned not only just murder, but even when we harbor and people harbor anger in their hearts and their thoughts toward another person. And we've been told even in the Bible not to judge, because even when we judge people, things, even things seem and sound so minute, so small, they lead up to things that could cause violence and abuse. Even by our opinionated, by judging people, we are told, even that Jesus talked about on the Sermon on the Mount, that we should not judge people, because if we do, anyway, we, the same thing that we judge, it's going to come back on us and our own faults and our weakness. People recognize what's in us just like we recognize other people's weakness. And Jesus has a way of telling us to avoid that. Even in the book of Colossians, it's telling the husbands, they're told to love their wives and not to be harsh with them. Even the fathers are to instruct to not embitter, don't provoke the children, you know, to wrath, for they'll become discouraged. And even it's, the Bible talks about so many avenues that can lead to violence and abuse. But it's God got an antidote. An antidote means the answer, got the way that will cause us to avoid these situations. And then even we just happen to be in it or see someone in it, it gives us a way of escape, an answer, the way to get out of it. Because even when you talk about even in the workplace, the employers are instructed to provide what is fair and what is right. There's new room in the, that is allowed for an employer to abuse or harass a worker. Because you may be like that, because sometimes people have a, some people have issues about knowing how to maintain and knowing how to direct for ways. Sometimes people just let it go to the head and they cause, they find themselves abusing people. When you harass people, when you just pick on people, you treat people unjustly, that is a form of abuse. A lot of times we think it's abuse come just can be physically when a person that's been battered by fighting abuse, this abuse, but abuse come in many different ways, and I'm going to be expounding on that even further as I talk in this program. And the Bible talks about employees not to harass and abuse the employees because they have the authority to be over somebody. And the Bible also talks all of us, especially the believers, if everybody, but the believers are told to get rid of all bitterness, all rage and anger, slander and bite-biting, and all kind of form of malice. Instead, we ought to be kind. We ought to be compassionate and love one another and forgive each other, just as Christ has also forgave us. You, me, as an individual, we have to have that kind of temperament. We have to have that love to be able to forgive. And we can only get that through Christ and by Christ. And that will cause us to avoid and to stay away from abuse and violence when we do the things that the Bible has commanded us to do. But all of them examples, they show it clear that, you know, God, he opposed to abuse. He opposed abuse. He don't like abuse. And we being his people and all believers, Christians, and we must also be opposed to that also when we see abuse happening, even when we see the enemy, talking about the devil, might open a door that try to cause abuse to come in our lives personally. We must avoid that, and God isn't for it, and we shouldn't be for it too. And we might say, and you might even think about, what about the victim of abuse? You say the Bible say, Jesus told us to love our enemies and pray for them to persecute us. But what about people say in the Bible say, if somebody slapped me, what should I do? Should I defend myself? Should I slap them back? Well, the Bible says if someone strikes you on the right cheek, you turn the other also. But it takes the love of God, the strength of God, the power of God to be open, the Holy Spirit to cause a person to be able to walk this walk. But it is possible. We are instructed to forgive those who sin against us. But these instructions have not led, you know, us to being Christians just to submit and sit back, you know, like a doormat and repeatedly let someone harass us and abuse us. Scriptures instruct us to abandon violence and abuse. But it calls us to be, to stand by, you know, what's right, to stand by justice. It's a law. We need to go by the law of the land. We just don't sit back and let people abuse you. No one sit back and anybody just take advantage of you because you being a Christian, you say the Bible say, if I turn one cheek, I turn the other. No, you have to protect yourself. You stand up for what's right. You don't allow people to abuse and take advantage of someone else. You see it. Even people who can't defend themselves, they're such as children elderly people, and don't be, even family members. But with God's help, we as people, we can learn to love our persecutors, the ones who do evil to us. We can learn to love them, and we can learn to pray for them and pray for our enemies and to forgive those and the people who do abuse others and forgive them. And this is done only by the power of God, and it is so needful. That's why God has called people such as myself, Dr. McCoy, and people all over the world, pastors, people of God, to be able to intercede, to be able to have an open heart, to be able to talk to people, and to find any way that God lead you to cause abuse and violence to be stopped, and to avoid abusive relationships any kind of way we see it coming. We have to do that, and God has given us permission to do that, because God is not a God of violence, but God of love. But we know that there will be violence and abuse on this earth coming of the Lord. But until then, there is a way that can glorify God that will cause us to be able to help people, with the cause of even ourselves to be able to get out of situations or to avoid situations that might cause violence and abuse. So what causes abuse? That may be another question you. What causes abuse? And I'm going to be talking about right now the causes of abuse. And it's like in our mind we might think, it's just found on people's mind to say, why would one human being physically and psychologically abuse another? Why would he think about it? Why would somebody just physically either psychologically abuse a person? And the first answer that may come to your mind in my mind may be as though it's saying, because of sin. And that's true. Because of sin, it does cause abuse and violence. But that itself doesn't explain why some people act in sinful, abusive ways while other people don't. Everybody is not abusive. Everybody is not violent. The Bible says that violence is not the answer and love is the answer. And we trying to find out the cause of abuse. For example, let's say a person is a rapist. A person that a rapist and another person could be, just say, a middle-aged daughter who neglects and mistreats her parents. Each individual and everybody is different. So there will not ever be a simple and a pinpoint answer what causes abuse. But we know that it is caused, and we know that it does happen. And each individual has different environments bringing up, have different temperament, have a different social life. It is different altogether, all around. And the thing, one person, what causes one person to be violent and abusive may not be the same reason why somebody else made this, the action of being violent and abusive. And it's not correct, and a lot of times it's been said, but it's not correct to assume that victims of abuse usually act for it by giving hints to indicate they would like to be abused. Because a lot of times, even in situations when females, let's say a woman has been raped, and a lot of times it's been said that even the abuser say, oh, she wanted it, she made me do it. A person, like I say, a young daughter who may abuse her mother or her guardian, and they have the answer, oh, she made me do it, the way she kept asking me where I'm going, she kept being all in my business. No, it's never the answer that someone would make an abuser do what they does. It occurs because of different things that's inside people. Not just talking about the devil, the spirit, it's different things inside people that cause them to act such a way, but it still is not acceptable, even though things happen every day. Yeah, a lot of things could be environmental stress. And what I mean by that, when people get really frustrated, a common reaction is to respond to the feelings by verbally or physically lashing out at someone. For example, you can see like a supervisor, a businessman. He could be so frustrated with what's coming in and what's going on the job till his secretary, who was there to help him, has done anything but provide services the way he needed, but he'll lash out at her because of the pressure, because of the stress. Or even you can see an athlete. You may see, and I have seen it so many times before, a person playing, and they get frustrated by maybe they didn't, they missed the ball, they didn't do a good play like they wanted to do, and they'll get their tennis racket and throw it all across the court. Things like that, such as that. But stress in the life of an abuser, of course, is never an excuse for violence, but even though it does end up like that. But even if the victim creates the stress, stress may understand, it may be understood why people are abusive, though. And like I say, even with people being stressful, it causes people to be abusive, even though it's not justified, because the first step is tension building. That's the first stage it is when you become stressful. And what happened is the stress increased in the coping techniques, it becomes less effective. And then what happens is as it progresses in the second stage, violence erupts. And that means that whatever the consequences is, whether it be someone physically hurting someone, physically hitting someone, it happens. And then the third stage is after the person don't been battered, after they don't been verbally abused or physically abused, the third thing happens is the person, the batter, what they do, they come to the stage of the point or apologizing. What they do, they'll feel or they'll display the feelings of remorse, and they'll promise, you know, I never do this again, I won't let this happen again. And sometimes they flood that abused person with guilt, with affection, that it gives the victim hope that the violence will never be repeated. And what happened is the victim is led to stay in a relationship, but when stress builds up, the cycle tends to be repeated over and over again. And you may yourself may know if you have ever been in a relationship like that, and maybe you may be in a relationship like that now, or you may know someone in a relationship like that. That is a cry for help, and that is a sign of abuse, because as much as an individual, we love each other, we love a person, individual, a person won't love, hurt anything that they love. It's no excuse, but we have to get out our minds that that person loved me even though he don't knock my teeth out my mouth. That person don't love you, he don't ran your head through a wall. And when I'm talking about physical abuse right now, I'm talking about not just one way, it just being, not talking about just about a male abusing a female. It go both ways. It go, believe me or not, you know, but I'm telling you the truth, it go both ways. You have some men that are being physically abused, verbally abused by women, just like it is with women. And a lot of times it may not be, and it might not be as prevalent as it is with the men's abuse of women, but it is a high percentage that women abuse men, because a lot of the men would be, just say, submissive and won't fight bite or won't fight a woman. They just could be submissive or whatever. And it tends that a woman just be just as violent as a man, could go both ways. But we know that, and a lot of times a man will fail to report abuse on himself for feeling of an embarrassment about him being a male figure and being embarrassed about what society may say or what things happen. And it's a true story what happened before here in Jacksonville, Florida. One time it was a man, he had got raped, a man physically got raped, and when it coming out to the end of the story was about it was a group of women was going around raping men, you know, hitchhiking, and they'll rape the men, and they didn't kill them, but they'll rape them and rob them. And one man, it happened to so many, but one man came forward. He was so embarrassed, but he told what happened that he got raped by some women. And that's a form of abuse. It's no pleasure in that, because you're a man and a woman take your body, it got to be acceptable. That's a form of abuse. And the young man was just so embarrassed, and people took light of it. Even people, you know, when the news got out, people took light of that and was laughing about it, because it was a male that was raped by women, and they thought, you know, he was a macho or he was a real man, he should be able to accept that. But no, he don't have to accept that, because that's a form of abuse. And a lot of times people, we settle for things because of what society say, but anybody force you to do anything you don't want to do, that's a form of abuse. And another cause of abuse is learned abuse. And that's why if you see children like in a home, and you see most children, people grew up to be real violent, a lot of times, 9 out of 10, they have already seen that in their house. They have seen their parents that is fighting physically, always arguing. A lot of times children grow up to become neglectors of their own children. They do the same thing. What they usually see and what they usually been in their environment is growing up. And that's what they tend to always bring from one generation to the next. Not saying everybody does that and everybody do that. Some people do break out of that, but it usually be like a pattern, almost like a generation curse. From my parents, I'm not myself per se, but my parents beat up their parents, and it goes so on as children, the same thing, violence and abuse. That's what happened. And another thing it could be is personal insecurity. And they have studies show that abusers are people who feel insecure. They're impulsive and they're threatened. And they generally hold low self-esteem. And sometimes, you know, wife beaters, you know, feel jealous, possessive, intimidated by their wives. And that's true. And some mean they are intimidated by their wife. Even it could be maybe their wife made more money than what they're making, or it could be anything. And so what the husband try to do, what he'll do, he'll boast his own feeling of inadequacy by being tough and by him being physically stronger than a woman. Majority of them are. They just take advantage of that. And other parents who have low tolerance for the, just say they have a child that's hyperactive, what they'll do is find some way to control that child. Because that child, just say a child, it could be crying. It could be crying all night, and it's so prevalent. We hear it every day on the news all over the world about an infant that's being murdered by their parents. Not so much that they just got a gun and shot him in the head or something, but just simply by being stressed out, just shaking the child, just shaking them to death, and you know, throwing the child down just because they're stressed and can't control their temper, and it causes violence and abuse. And a lot of things could be cause abuse in another form, as far as, like, I could say, ongoing power struggles between the abuse person and the victim. And that's true, because a lot of research shows that sexual violent movies, pornography materials, television programs can and do promote violence, especially violence against women. And there is abuse that comes from people who are overwhelmed by family responsibilities. And it's true. And a lot of times we look, I remember my past founding pastor always called the television. The television has so many things on there that will cause abuse, that will cause violence, and that people, and we just accept that because it's on television, because we figure if it was a law and it was something bad or wrong, they wouldn't allow it to be shown. But we have to know and disciple what is right and what is wrong based on what the Bible. We can't look at everything on TV. Even you could look at commercials. You could be talking about commercial about chewing gum, and you will see a female up there half naked, and it provoked a weak person that could get in their spirit and their mind that they want to rape somebody by simply looking at a simple commercial supposed to be about double mint chewing gum, and they have a female up there with a two-piece bikini on. And what do they have to do about chewing gum? But things like that just open doors for violence and abuse. And a lot of times there are different things and methods that will cause people to act out in violence, and they will cause people ways to avoid it. But the cause of abuse, the first thing and the prevalent root of it is the decision. A decision is immediate or long-term plan, justification such as, this is a guy say, a man say, if my lady or my wife, if she does this, she does that, I'm going to be violent. I'm not going to say another word, what he going to do, but he ended up acting out on her. Or if I ever find out that she does this or she's fooling around, I'm going to do that. So the root cause of abuse is a decision. It's any of the abuser, it's the decision they have already made up in their mind what they're going to do. We can't find excuses and justify for why a person abused another person. We find the reasons, but we're not going to find justification that accept that, because abuse and violence is not acceptable. That's why they have consequences now. If we, according to the law, if we do something, abuse somebody, we battle somebody, we hurt somebody, violate somebody, we going to jail. We got to pay a cost for it. So we can't find justification to accept that, but we can discover the reason why some people do what they do. And domestic violence, you know, it may start off when one partner feels that they need to control or dominate the other. Abusers may feel the need to control their partner because of low self-esteem, and they could be extremely jealous. Difficulties in regulating anger, they can't control the anger or any other strong emotion. And when they feel inferior to the other partner, can't even in education, you have people in an abusive relationship because one of the partners can't handle the other person's education being more esteemed than theirs, even their socioeconomic status, even they may have more money than the other one have. And this domination takes place in a form of emotional or physical or sexual abuse. It's just not about physical. We tend to think just because a person is physically abused, that's the only form of abuse or violence. No, it go way beyond that. It could go in emotional. And that just go real down and deep down, too. Just as harmful as it is the physical, the emotion, it gets in your mind. And also sexual abuse, too. A lot of times sexual abuse, you think sex is just all pleasure. No, but people are sexually abused every day. Even being in married relationship, people are still being sexually abused. And alcohol and other chemical substances may contribute to violent behavior. Just say, like, even a drunk person, a person that's drunk off alcohol or high off some kind of drugs, that person is, like, you know, likely to control his violent temper or impulse. When they get violent under the influence, there's no stopping them. That's another thing that causes people to do it. And domestic violence, talking about what's in the home and stuff and the abuse, is often overlooked or excused or it's denied. This is especially true, you know, when the abuser, you know, when the person who is causing the problem, you know, think it's just psychologically doesn't matter. They say, if I didn't hit her, if I didn't hit him, it doesn't count. That's not true. But it's a notice. If you notice and acknowledge the sign of abuser, the relationship is first step of ending. That's the first step of being able to end a relationship that is abusive. But you have to recognize what it is. Because if you really love someone, even somebody even knowing about it, no one should live in fear of the person they love. When you talk about domestic violence, we're talking about people who's married, who made vows to each other. And one of them is, like I said, is sexual abuse. Sexual abuse is a form of physical abuse. In a situation in which you are forced to participate in unwanted, unsafe, undegrading sexual activities is sexual abuse. Forced sex, even by a spouse or intimate partner. And this talk, I'm talking about this because I know we're talking on radio broadcast and everybody's not saved. Everybody's not a Christian. So, but sexual abuse and abuse is not stereotyped. Just saying because you're a Christian, you won't be involved in abuse and violence. That's not true. So that's why I'm categorizing all these things. I'm telling you, it going for both Christians, unbelievers, it going for the human race. Anytime you have forced sex, even by a spouse or intimate partner with whom you also have consented sex with, is an act of aggression and violence. Furthermore, people who partners abuse them physically and sexually are at high risk of being seriously injured or killed. And it happens every day. You read the news by people who's forced to have sex and do things that they didn't want to do. And 99% of the time, a person that is sexually abused, it comes from someone that they already knew. It comes from someone they already knew, whether it be a family member, a friend, or a spouse. Then you have emotional abuse. It's called, and the person, how they affect the person emotional abuse, it causes you to feel that you're losing your self-worth. You know, person abuse you would downrate you so much in what they say till you feel like you don't lost your self-worth and your independence. Like they got you so broken down that you don't feel like you can make it. And that's what they do when it comes to emotional abuse. And emotional abuse, it includes verbal abuse such as they yell at you, name-calling, blaming you for everything, and embarrassing you. When people get you out and embarrass you, have no respect for you, that's a form of emotional abuse. And they cause you to be isolated and intimidated and controlling behavior. All those fall under emotional abuse. So you might find yourself, you see somebody in those situations, that's abuse. That's a form of abuse. It's not that a person just has to hit you and have a mark on you and say you just abuse. When people belittle you, talk to you like I named something thing that did, shaming you, embarrassing you, that's a form of abuse. And also economic and financial abuse. And a lot of times people don't even know you were in a relationship with your spouse or whoever, your intimate or significant other, and you could be abused financially. And it's a subtle form of emotional abuse. What they do, what their goal is to control you. It'll control you, he or she, either or it go both ways, male or female. It control you or your finances. It withhold money, withhold your money from you and your credit cards, won't allow you to be able to spend. It makes you account penny you spend. Every time you spend money, they want to know what you spent it on, how much you do that, who told you to do that, did I tell you to do that? And they withhold basic necessity. You'll be surprised, but some people are neglected from food, clothing, even the medicine they need, even somewhere to stay. You even shelter. Sometimes in these domestic violent relationships, people get mad at the other one, and they'll put the person outside the door. They might don't respect the time the person come and lock them outside the house. They don't have nowhere to stay. All those are forms of abuse, talking about financial abuse and economic abuse, and also respecting you to an allowance. You working hard for your money, even y'all combine your money together, but they tell you what they're going to give you, but they got freedom to get what they want to give. They're respecting you to an allowance. That's a form of abuse, and preventing you from working or choosing your own career. Some people can't even live their life and do what God called them to do because they're in a relationship that someone's going to tell you, no, you're not going to work at the hospital, you're going to work at Burger King. Use that for example. People does that when they're in relationship. It could cause abuse to come even in that kind of manner. And sabotaging your job. So many people have lost their jobs because their mate has been controlling them with violence and abuse and causing them to miss work. And it's constantly calling people's jobs to the person that actually lost their job. Those form of abuse, economic abuse, and stealing from you and taking your money, all of those are just signs and forms of another thing, ways of abuse. And you have to recognize the warning signs of domestic violence and abuse. A lot of times, a person, we don't recognize those things because sometimes people, they've been living in that predicament all their lives. They've been seeing it for over and over from the time they was children. They've seen it with their parents, and they had their children, and their children doing the same thing. But you have to know that, like I said, it's different ways, and I just told you different methods of abuse, and that's not healthy. And you have to recognize the warning signs and know that that's not the healthy way of living. And some people just have a lifestyle of living in abusive relationship, and believe it or not, some people have come to the point that they love abusive and violent relationship. It's sad to say, but it's true. Some people, they fight, physically fight, love, break up to make up, back over and over again, and stay together forever and ever. We know God has made and created each and every one of us, our body, our temples, not to be battered and used for in that manner. But you have to recognize the warning sign of violence and abuse. And a general warning sign of domestic abuse is people who are being abused, what they do, they may seem afraid or anxious to please their partner. You see people, they're so anxious, they just jump to them like when they call their name, they're so nervous, they just jump to them so quickly, everything. They just want to please them. And they go along with everything their partner says or does, whether it's wrong or right, they're going to agree with them, they go along with them. These are signs of warning signs as far as signs of some domestic abuse. If you might see these are individual, even you may see yourself in some of these situations and some of these things that I'm telling you. These are signs of abuse. And even they check often with their partner to report what they're doing. They say if one of the partners went off somewhere and every time they look around, they on the phone calling or they calling them, what you doing? You just left home 10 minutes ago. what you're doing, back and forth. These are some abuse. I'm not talking about love. You got a partner, your spouse who loves you, they just call you, that's okay. But I'm talking about when you just left them, you live with them 24/7, but you out just leaving them up to go out with the girls or the fellas, and your partner calling you every time, every 5 minutes, what you doing, that's a sign of harassment and abuse. And talking about their partner's temper or jealousy or possessiveness, when you hear a person tell you, mention things to you, mention things about their partner, those signs that they are in a domestic relationship. Those are the things that happen, you know, they just informing you, they talking to somebody to talk about it, because 9 times out of 10 they ain't talking about this if they with somebody who real strict on letting go anyway. And another warning sign of physical violence is when you see people, they have frequent injuries. A lot of times people be injured and they have excuse, you know, of a, they was in an accident. You might see a lady or a man with a black eye, and if they say, what happened? Then they say, oh, I ran to the door. Things like that. You see things like that often. Those are signs of physical abuse. And you see people who frequently miss work, who don't normally miss work or school, social occasions, you know, without an explanation. Those are signs. And also, you see people dressed inappropriately. They might be dressed to hide bruises or scars. Just say like somebody wearing a turtleneck or in summertime or wearing long sleeve shirts. Then you might see somebody wearing sunglasses indoors. Those are signs people trying to hide things, or there being physical abuse or violence have been taking place. Another warning sign of isolation is people who are being isolated by their abuser, they'll be restricted from seeing their family and friends a lot of times, and that's so true. They will keep you away from being, if you have no friend, they have you nobody yourself. All your social life activity has been cut off. That's a sign of abuse. That's a warning sign. They want to keep you away from all your friends, your family. You can't go to no family gatherings, no socialization. That's a sign of abuse. And another thing, you rarely get to go out in public without your partner. If you go out, you'll be with your partner. Those other signs, they're showing this warning sign to me. You know, they want you to just be with them alone. Don't want you to be around nobody else. For one thing, they're afraid you're going to tell what's going on. So they try to keep you almost like a prisoner, just you and them. And a lot of times they have limited access to money and credit card. Either they won't even let you use the card. They got to be with you everywhere you go. Those are just signs. And a psychological warning sign is people who have very low self-esteem, you know, even if the person used to be confident, used to be strong, but then you see them being having low self-esteem, that's another sign, psychological abuse. And also when people show major personality changes, they used to be an outgoing person. They say they was hyperactive and, you know, just friendly, like a social butterfly, but now you see them become very withdrawn. That could be very well be another sign of it. And a person being depressed or anxious or suicidal. But a lot of times, you know, if we see those signs in people, even if yourself may be in a situation that you know that you're living in some of these things that I just mentioned about abuse and violence, that's not God's will for your life. That's not God's will for anybody's life. And we as believers, if we see things, it's okay to speak up. If you suspect, you know, domestic violence or abuse, if you suspect someone is being abused, you know, pray to God. You know, pray to God and ask him, you know, how will he direct you to speak up? How will he have you direct you to get involved with that? Because a lot of times women and men alike, people are in violent and abusive relationship, and they don't tell anyone because they're afraid. They're afraid. And a lot of times they don't tell anyone because they're embarrassed. You don't have to be embarrassed, because everybody, it's not your fault for one thing, and everybody will understand. All the person tell you nobody cares about understand is the abuser, but it's not true. Reach out, tell someone. And I know a lot of times people's in all kinds of situations and they not able to go out and get help like they really want to reach out to help because of the law, or they feel like the law and the consequences of what might happen if they tell it just limited, and they got to go back to that abused person, that situation, to make matters worse. But you pray and you ask God to direct you, and you reach out. You reach out. I'm not telling you don't ask for help. Ask for help. God tell you how to ask for help. Who direct you to your past? They have all kind of 800 numbers, people, family member, friends, anybody, pastor, someone, counselor. Reach out. And people, when we see things and other people that's involved in the situation, and we may not want to get involved because we'll say it's none of my business. And a lot of times people have got involved in a situation, but people, relationships and things came out bad on their end. But it don't stop. It can't stop us for being out to be able to help, to be able to talk to people, to be and not be able to listen to people as well as talk and inform them on what to do. Because what happened is you may think, I'm not going to speak up. It's not my business. It's not your business. You may be wrong. It very well could be your business or my business. Or the person might want to talk about it. It's not anything that my person might want to talk about it. But keep in mind that expressing your concern, it will let the person know that you care about them. And it may even save his and her life. So a lot of times we see things happen with others. It's okay. It's okay to call for help. It's okay to try to talk to that individual. It's okay to question the person. If you see signs, like some of the warning signs, see signs that they are a person that's being abused. And even yourself, you in a situation that you may see yourself being abused, rather than a Christian or not a Christian. That's not God's will for your life. That's not for your life. There are answers. There are answers, and Jesus answers. And there are people who care about you. Don't ever think nobody cares about you and nobody cares about your situation. God cares, and he has people that cares. Your family cares. You got pastors. You got Christian counselors. Call in. Tell somebody. Don't settle for that. God have a way of escaping a way that is. But I'm going to be talking to you next week to conclusion of violence and abuse, and next week we'll be talking about the effects of abuse and also preventing abuse. And I know you probably have a good question that you want to ask and comments you want to make about this teaching, this lesson we're talking about abuse today. You always can call in. Dr. McCoy said call in and have your comments, have your questions. We'll be glad to pray for you, to talk with you, to guide you, to counsel you in godly counsel according to the Bible. And God bless you until we meet again this week. Bye to you, Dr. McCoy.
Dr. Normia, we just so grateful and thankful for this topic on violence and abuse. And we just know that this segment is over, per se over, but I want to take just 1 minute and for you to share with the radio audience. I'm going to pose this question because I really know that there are people that are thinking about this. One of the things that you said while we were right in your discussion, and one of the things came up about abusement to children, and one of the things I thought about and have heard of and know about as to there are parents, there may be a single woman that she may have boys, or she may just be single, but she has a child. And she began dating this young man or this person in her life, whether he's young, middle-aged, or whatever. And they've been dating each other for a while. They decide that she feels comfortable, per se, feel that she feel comfortable with this person and leave this her child, a small child, with this male factor. And there have been cases wherein men have taken this woman, a woman, children, a baby, babies, and they have, because they not really used to being babysitters are being patient, loving, or know how to handle a child, or just want the child to be quiet, and they began to shake the child, and many times it caused a death or injury of permanent injury to the child by shaking them. So the question is, very briefly, do you advocate a mother leaving her child or her children with her partner that she have met, and it doesn't, and this is child father, but I'm saying with a dating companion that she have. We only have about a minute or so. What do you think about that?
I think personally, only if that male factor is mature and responsible. I think it's have no problem if it's with her spouse or husband or if her fiance, if he's not the biological father, it doesn't matter. My point of view, if that person is not a title that I'm concerned about, it's that mentality of that male factor. If he's mature enough to be able to handle and to be able to discipline and to be able to raise that child in the way of God and the way that's healthy, I think it's okay. But for a mother to allow a man to come in there, even if it's the husband, maybe the child biological father, knowing that he's not doing it the healthy way, but just to save the relationship and let that settle for that, cause a lot of that go on, I oppose to that, greatly offended to that. That's not right at all. That's not right at all. I would not justify that.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Normia. Yes, you have been listening to the Crossroad broadcast, and we have been talking about violence and abuse. And, yes, this is a topic that we're going to continue on next week. So we want you to call your friends and call your partners and call your neighbors and call those, some of the people that you go to church with and let them know that the Crossroad broadcast is discussing violence and abuse, and their need to hear are some things that they will be able to help somebody else with, and questions that maybe they was wondering about and need some help. Maybe they couldn't even afford to go to a counselor. Well, you have a certified, licensed, board-certified counselors, licensed counselor here on the Crossroad broadcast. And as I said before, feel free to call in, ask your question, and we'll get your question answered. And so next week at this very same time, please tune in to the Crossroad broadcast. You have been listening to Dr. June Normia, who is addressing violence and abuse. And I am the host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we will want you to please to call in on next week so that you, again, can get your question answered. And also, immediately after this broadcast, if you maybe in the next 10 minutes or so, why don't you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Mary, M-A-R-Y, Smith, McCoy, M-C-C-O-Y, and you can listen to this broadcast again, just in case you have someone that may have missed it, didn't get a chance to hear it on today. Each week, you're going to be able to go and to listen, you know, whether it is this afternoon or whether it's tomorrow, they can go again. Let me give you that website again. That is www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. and the Lord case Dr. Diara dash Mary dash Smith dash McCoy. And you can hear the broadcast again. And each week during the broadcast, if you have a question to ask, you can call 805-243-1363. Again, while we on air, we will be more than happy to stop and to answer some of the questions at that at appropriate time when we can address the questions that you have. You have been listening to the Crossroad broadcast. Let me just do this. Our Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name for this time that you have given us, God, so that we can reach out to the nations, God, that we can be involved in other people's lives, God, that they'll know that there's somebody out there. And, God, sometimes, as we said before, there are many people that they may not be able to go just or go to even a Christian counselor or even a secular counselor because of the fact that they feel that I don't have the money, I won't be able to do this. But if you call in each week while we are having these discussions, we'll try to answer the questions that you have and that you can feel more free. Again, this has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, Crossroad Broadcast. You be more blessed. May God bless and keep you is our prayer.